everybody. Today we have Jeff Spoonhauer, the art director of A New Distant Light, the game by the company Resonator. And we're going to be talking to him about how the game's going and how it came to be.
Great. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming, Jeff. Yeah. Both you and your partner at Resonator have impressive backgrounds in the gaming industry. What made you decide to head into the indie gaming field?
Yes, so Steve Copeland, my development partner, and myself, we have been in, we had been working in AAA, you know, big studio environments for a long time. So when I left to do the indie thing, I had been working for about 13 years, 14 years in AAA, and Steve had been working for about 15 years at places like EA, Sony, 2K, Petroglyph, a whole long list of studios we sort of racked up over that amount of time. I think the reason why we decided to make an indie game was to just really have a lot of influence over the project. So when you're working on a large team on a big budget game, you know, we're talking over 100 people making a game, you sort of have like a very specific responsibility on the project. And that in itself is a lot of fun and rewarding. But over time, it's kind of like you do the sort of the same things over and over. And, you know, 10, 15 years in the games industry doing that is a pretty long time. So we both just kind of had our own visions and creative ideas for making games. We have very much like complementary skill sets. So Steve is a designer and a programmer. I'm an artist, an animator, and a sound designer. And we're both senior level people. So we kind of were introduced through a mutual friend, came together and hit it off and just decided that we were going to take the leap of faith and start making an indie game together.
Wow. It's such an amazing time in the gaming industry. There's so much innovation from executives like yourself that are breaking off. I talk to them all the time, and it seems to be a common thread what you're saying, where you can kind of innovate and be free to create. So kudos to you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tell me about your experience developing the game. What has it been like?
Wow. It's been the hardest project I've ever worked on in my career. It's also been extremely rewarding. I think those two things usually, it's like the risk reward thing, right? Like the harder, the more of yourself you put into it, the more time and effort you put into it, the more you get out of it. So overall, it's been an amazing journey so far, and we still have a ways to go. But I think just the amount of stuff that we're both doing has been probably the biggest challenge. So if this is really just a two-person, two full-time developers making this game, plus our awesome composer, Will Roger. But so Steve and I are essentially taking on the workload of like 10 individual people at a studio. So just the amount of work that we have to do, and we have to do it really quickly and to like world-class quality, right, in order for our game to stand out. That's been the biggest challenge, I think, is just sort of flipping hats rapidly throughout the day and throughout the week, different responsibilities. But that said, it's been awesome because the response has been so great that, you know, people will contact us and say, hey, we'd love to hear more about your game and tell us about your team and everything. And then the best part is to just be able to say, it's just the two of us doing everything. So it's been really cool.
Has there been anything that's happened during development? What's your most memorable moment so far?
Oh, yeah. Memorable. Yeah, I think, well, we've gotten into two pretty big game shows so far. With the demo of our game, we won the Audience Choice Award at Comic-Con in Phoenix, which was, that was really exciting. And then we got into the Unity, the annual Unity showcase called at the Unite. It's called the Unite Conference. So just being able to go out, you know, to leave our little holes at home where we're developing and actually show the project to people and get hands-on and lots of great feedback and stuff, I think. Those have been two of the more memorable moments so far.
Very nice. What was your main inspiration for making this particular type of game and, the art style and overall?
Yeah, sure. Man, I think inspirations are sort of hard to nail down. I know that Steve and I both love, you know, we both grew up as children of the 80s, early and mid 80s, playing a lot of those sort of action exploration games, platforming games, like on the Nintendo, Super Nintendo. So we just have a love for that really tried and true, you know, the word is Metroidvania is kind of the popular word now that's used. As far as the genre of game, which we definitely hit on that. But it just sort of like the feeling of exploring this unknown world and finding things, weapons and items that help you to reach new areas of the world is a really time-tested, rewarding genre, and we really like that a lot. So I think sort of high level, we just both really like that type of game, and we wanted to just make one, right, and put our own spin on it. Yeah, in addition to that, I mean, we have some new, we're doing some sort of unusual things as far as storytelling and as far as the visual and the emotional tone of the game, which I'm really excited about. And we're also doing things like, we have these really crazy, like overpowered vehicles like mechs and tanks and dune buggies and stuff. So we're trying to do some new original things in a genre and especially in the indie game space where you don't typically see that type of stuff.
And customization to things.
Yeah.
And I've noticed a lot of games are, you know, popping up, inspired. You know, we have studios like JB Gaming making a remake of Earthbound, the Circadian, to different types of games that are making stuff that are kind of like Street Fighter. Now, a lot of these types of games are popping up, just the retro era in general. I think that this trend is going to increase. Or you think it's just going to fade out a little bit? Because I've noticed that it's coming around a lot.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I mean, and it really depends on how you define retro. You know, there's retro sort of old school gameplay mechanics. There's retro visuals, right? Like sort of that 8-bit or 16-bit pixel look. Mm-hmm. I think there's, I think there's a lot of reasons why that's happening, especially in indie games. They're a lot cheaper and quicker to make, is one reason why you see a lot of, like, visually a lot of games like that, because you can create those sort of quote-unquote retro-looking assets faster and cheaper than doing something like a 3D game or something that looks more photorealistic. So for an indie game team that has a very limited, usually, like, close to zero budget starting out, you know, it's a lot more feasible to make a game like that on the visual side. On the gameplay side, I think a lot of it is like, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type thing.
Yeah.
You know, those old school gameplay mechanics, again, have been around forever, and there's sort of a large built-in audience that understands how those games play and what the expectations are. So again, especially for indies, you know, there's a reason why there's so much of that happening is because there's just a familiarity to it, and it's sort of a way of mitigating risk as far as the type of game that you're making. So I don't think it's going anywhere. I think the main issue right now is oversaturation.
Mm-hmm.
So many games being made, and there's people have limited time and dollars. So
true. Yeah. I love the way your game, it's so vivid and just the artistic style. That's what's so unique to me personally.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So what's your plan? Are you going to create more games like A New Distant Light or will there be a sequel to A New Distant Light? Can you leak that?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's really funny. We've been asked this a couple times, and we're just so knee-deep in production on our current game that we are just, like, taking it day by day. we would love to, you know, if the response to the game commercially and critically is positive, we would love to keep making games in this world. I think there's so much that we can continue to explore. We've already had to cut stuff that we wanted to do. So we've got a whole long list of things that we would love to do on future titles. But right now we are nose to the grindstone.
Understood.
I wish I had some sort of juicy bit for you there, but
honest is always best.
Yeah.
take one day at a time. So congrats on your Kickstarter, by the way. What was your experience on that platform? Do you have any advice to give other indies or just in general your experience? Would be great.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so we were successfully funded on Kickstarter back in March. If you're thinking about, if you're a developer and you're thinking about doing Kickstarter, I think it's just a ton of work. I think that was like the biggest thing. We spent a long time. We spent a year, I think at least, just getting ready to do the Kickstarter. So that just involved a lot of research, you know, looking up lots of sort of Kickstarter postmortems online from other developers that succeeded and failed. So we just gathered a ton of data on what worked and what didn't work for these folks. And then we tried to just use that advice on our own campaign to avoid making the same mistakes. And there's a lot of information out there if you just kind of Google, you know, Kickstarter postmortem or, you know, indie game Kickstarter advice. I think, yeah, the one thing is it just took up both of our time full time, not only the entire duration of the month-long Kickstarter, but I was wrapped up full time for like two and a half months, just getting ready before we launched the Kickstarter. So, you know, if you're thinking about doing one, you really have to just schedule, block that time off and say, I will not be able to work on the game for probably 3 months surrounding and during the Kickstarter. Steve and I are actually, we recorded sort of a video postmortem for our Kickstarter. So we're going to be hopefully releasing that in the next month. It's just a really long chat, video chat between the two of us, just sort of spilling all of our advice. Which we hope will be helpful.
Just put along and I'll get that into my Discord groups for indies.
Be happy to.
So what stage is the game in now and where, when do you plan on releasing the game?
So we are, we're still in pre-alpha. So, you know, we're almost feature complete. We have a couple more things that we're hammering away on that are new to the game. But we got a really big chunk of the game built, of the game world. So as soon as we hit feature complete, we're really going to be focusing on just continuing to build out all of the zones, you know, adding new enemies, combat, boss battles. So we're pretty much in heavy production still. As far as the release, we haven't really announced anything officially, but we're really, really trying hard to launch the game on PC mid-year next year. So hopefully late summer is our current plan to launch on PC. Yep.
Exciting. And
That'll
be on Steam or?
Yep. Current plan is to hit all of the major channels. So Steam, Humble, probably Humble Bundle. We also would really like to put the game out on Linux and Mac. So basically desktop platforms first and then consoles after that.
Very nice. Cover all bases.
Where
can fans purchase and or back your game now? Is that still available?
Yep. So you can actually purchase, since we haven't finished the game, it's not actually, like, the final version isn't ready yet. But the really great thing with the Kickstarter is after the Kickstarter ended, we had all sorts of people that had sort of discovered us late and weren't able to pledge to our campaign and get all the cool rewards and stuff. So we ended up building a donation page on our official website. And it has basically all the same rewards, backing tiers and rewards that we offered for Kickstarter. And we just have sort of this ongoing thing going on where you can get like really cool rewards like the game and the soundtrack, posters, t-shirts, ways to actually help out on the development of the game. So yes, we would love for people to check that out. And that's right on our website at anewthegame, so anewthegame.com/support-us. That's where it is.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's no other games in the works. I was going to, I already covered that base. Any other events that you're attending that fans and interested parties visit you?
So we would love to be able to go and bring our game out to the big shows. And we're actually planning on doing that next year when we're a little closer to shipping, going to, you know, the shows like PAX and stuff like that. But the thing is it takes so much time of our time to prepare and test and do like demo builds of the game that we're just sort of pushing all that stuff off and focusing 100% on actual development. So we're not actually taking our game to any big shows. I got invited to speak at GDEX, G-D-E-X. It's a Midwestern a game show in Columbus, and that's in October. So I will actually be there doing a presentation. So I'm looking forward to that. And if any of your listeners are in that area and plan on going, they should definitely swing by and say hi.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to share with the audience?
No, we're just really excited about our project. We think we've got something pretty special. We're excited about bringing some new things to that Metroidvania genre as far as story and visuals and just sort of really deep gameplay. And we're just hunkering down and very excited about finishing up the game and getting it out in people's hands.
Sure, I'm excited about actually playing it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for stopping by and taking the time to speak with me today. I really appreciate it. And good luck with the game. And please keep us updated and let us know what's going on. We'll let you back.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity, Rachel.
Thank you. Enjoy your day.